man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show. Episode 95, to be exact, and for a change, I am not traveling. For a change, I am at home in the comfort of my home office, air conditioning, and everything. And it's a good feeling, folks. We have some pretty hot weather here in North Texas. If you're kind of new to this program, I want to let you know, you've tuned into a voice of reason. This is a practical show. I don't get into a lot of far-out, tinfoil hat type thinking. I keep it real. Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are, and those are the kinds of things that I talk about. Coming to you from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'm not on the road, not driving. A lot of times that's where I'm doing this podcast. But that's a good thing. Now, there are a couple of announcements I want to get out of the way real quickly here. So give me a minute of your time, and then I'll dive into the main topic, which is survival clothing. I'm going to talk to you about something I have not done a podcast on yet, and that is give you some of my thoughts on what you should pack in bug-out bags, what you should keep at home if you have a bug-out location, what kinds of clothes you should keep there, things to think about like that. And a lot of what I'm going to cover is just kind of everyday common sense, too, about wearing certain clothes in the winter, certain clothes in the summer, since we're in the middle of the summer and it's, hotter than you-know-what outside. I'm going to spend a lot of time on summer clothes. But before I get into that, I want to let you know something, that this is going to be the last podcast you're going to hear from me until about the 2nd of July. I'm at home this week, but I will be taking 2 weeks off, going on a much-needed vacation. I'm going to take my family out of Dodge for a while. We're just going to relax and get away from things. It's not this podcast I'm getting away from. This is a blast, folks. It's not my full-time job, but I just have a heck of a lot of fun talking about how to live a more successful life now and if something bad happens. And the very fact that you listen to this show, that makes me happy every time that you listen to it. So it's not this podcast that I'm getting away from. It's work, it's life, and everybody needs to get away, and I haven't taken a really good, serious vacation in nearly 3 years. Now, I will be checking in on the forum probably every couple of days or so. So if you see that my posts are a little bit light on the forum, you'll know why. I also am going to check the comments and on the blog at todayssurvival.com. So if you want to comment on the show, I welcome your comments. As you know, I always like to hear from you. I'm an open-minded person, so let me know what you think. And as usual, I'll be checking my email probably only about once a day instead of a couple of times a day. All right, so I want to let you know that. And also, one more thing. Don't forget about the main page, todayssurvival.com. Don't forget about our forum. If you're not a member, get on there. There's some good like-minded people. Small minds talk about material objects. Average minds talk about other people. But great minds talk about ideas and concepts. And that's what our forum is about. A lot of good, friendly. We're a small group, but we're friendly and very informative. Get on our forum. All right? So with that, that pretty much knocks out the announcements. Oh, one more thing I do want to mention to you. As I mentioned to you, this show is not my full-time job, just a hobby. But it does have some expenses from time to time. It exists on the kind donations from listeners like you. No pressure, no hard sell. If you can't do it, that's fine. I'd rather see you pay off debt before contributing to this show. But if you can make a financial commitment to this show, it would be much appreciated. If it's in your heart, I would love that. There's a donate button on the page at todayssurvival.com. And that's all that I'm going to say about that. With all that said, let's dive into the main subject matter, which is survival clothing. First of all, I just want to talk about some generalities first. Then I'll get into some details about putting stuff in your bug-out bag and your bug-out location and keeping things stored at home ready to go. Let's talk a little bit about dressing properly for a survival situation. I'm not going to try to tell you how to dress, ordinarily in everyday life. Folks, I struggled when I put together the info for this podcast. Because as I started going through all my notes and things, about halfway through preparing for this, it dawned on me, I thought, you know what? I got to be careful with this show because I don't want to tell people how to dress. That's a very personal thing. And who am I to tell you how to dress? So please don't take it that way. These are just some suggestions. I just give suggestions on this show. You take the best and leave the rest. But I see two distinct premises regarding clothing that I want to talk about. The first premise is to dress when you're going on a potential survival situation, and second is to have suitable clothing incorporated into your bug out bag in case there's an emergency. So again, the first premise is if you know you're going to go into a survival situation, all right, or a potential survival situation. If you know you're going on some kind of an outdoors excursion and you know that there could be a potential that you may be in survival mode. All right. The second is keeping a bug out bag or a survival kit in case you're forced to flee at a moment's notice. You need to have some essentials in there. Okay. You know, for example, I mean, if you're caught in an earthquake or a hurricane or something and you just got to get out of the house and you got to get out quick, what's in your bag? Okay. What's the weather like outside? Is it warm, sunny day? You know, is it hotter than blazes like we've got right now here in Texas? You know, or is it cold? Or is it rainy? Or is it windy? Is it the dead of winter? Is there some kind of a blizzard? You know, I am going to talk about some winter clothing, even though it's the summertime. You might want to save this podcast and play it again in December. But it's important, obviously, right now, when I talk about the summer clothes, that's what you want to obviously be preparing. No kidding, right? But, you know, do you relish the thought of hiking through the boonies in your pajamas and no shoes? Okay, don't forget something. It's your kit, and you can change the clothing contents as you think is best to accommodate the season. Now, regardless of what situation you're in, regardless of whatever need you have for survival clothes, here's a few things I want you to think about. Number one, what's your location and the planned environment? Number two, what's the time of the year and the climate associated? Number three, real important, what's your space and weight limitations? You're going to be on foot? You're going to be in your vehicle? Are you going to be hunkering down in your house? Are you going to be at your bug out location? And number four, cost. How much does it cost you to acquire these items and these clothes? So obviously your budget is going to be one of the factors in what you're going to stock. But I want to talk a little bit here about some summer survival tips. And let me start with that first, since we are happen to be right in the middle of summer and right in the heat. And a lot of people are going to be taking vacations this summer, going to the beach, going to different parts of the country, parts of the world. And you could be running into some pretty serious hot weather. First, let me talk about some beach survival tips and some beach clothing tips. Okay, for starters, I want to talk about chronic exposure to the harmful UV rays. I know we've all heard this. I know this is something that has been no huge secret, but it's amazing how many people still seem to forget to do this. UV is an invisible form of radiation that penetrates and alters the structure of skin cells, and sometimes it's irreversible. Okay, so before you hit the beach this year, get geared up in self-defense. Get geared up with some of your hot weather survival tips, and let me just cover a few of them. First of all, let me share with you some statistics. Maybe you didn't know, and some things and some facts. Erythema, or is also called sunburn, is caused by a type of skin damaging light called the ultraviolet B or UVB rays. UVA rays are deeper penetrating and they cause premature skin aging, as we know. Both of these lead to cancer. Okay, and I don't know if you know this, but since about 1930, skin cancer has become about 1,800% more common. Since 1930. The deterioration of the ozone, and which is a gas that's about 15 to 40 kilometers up above the Earth, is where a lot of the UVB light is absorbed, and that's a problem. So a few sun safety tips that I want to share with you. Okay, when you're at the beach, or anywhere where it's just blazing hot, obviously, seek the shade. Do what you have to do. Yank out your umbrellas. Stay in the shade. Whatever kind of tree cover you can find. I know it's fun to be out there on the beach. I know it's fun to be out there in the sun, and it feels good at first. But we all know it just doesn't feel good after if you have overexposure to it. Something some folks don't think too much about, and that is eye safety during the heat, during the baking sun. Some people think that a darker lens in your sunglasses gives you more UV protection. Not necessarily the truth, folks. In fact, unless lenses feature protective UV coating, it doesn't matter whether they're light or dark. Dark shades can increase your exposure to harmful UV rays, just like light colored lenses. It's all about the UV protection on your glasses. And here's how that happens. Okay, here's something to think about when you're wearing dark sunglasses. Shades block light. So that causes your pupils to open to let more light in. So the UV rays bombard the clear cornea on the eye's surface and the retina. And because your pupils have opened to let more light in, that causes the problem. And a light-sensitive membrane is in the back of your eye. And this allows more of the UV rays to hit the back of your eye also. And what this can cause is some vision clouding, cataracts, and macular degeneration over the long term. Okay, so keep that in mind. A lot of people like to put on really super dark sunglasses, and I've done that. Concentrate more on what's the UV protection of your glasses, your sunglasses, rather than concentrating on what the color of them is. Okay, now let me talk a little bit about physical activity, especially during the summertime. And this is going to relate a lot to your clothing, and it's going to tell you a lot about what kind of clothes that you should be wearing just to maintain survival. See, think about this. I like to approach survival, as you know, you've been listening to me long enough, I like to approach survival as what can we do now to help prevent problems from happening. Preventing is more important, in my opinion, than reacting. The more damage you can prevent from happening to yourself, and the more stink hit the fan events that you can prevent, the better off you're going to be. I need to take a water break here. I'm having trouble getting the words out. Hang on. Okay. Physical activity in scorching summer heat can stoke your body temperature way above its normal. And what happens is the body responds by sweating. And as the moisture evaporates into the air, it pulls that heat away from your skin, cooling you down. But the problem is that humid weather, obviously we all know, humid weather slows down that evaporation. And exercising in that extreme heat can make you sweat more than a quart an hour. Did you know that? And it starts depleting your body of water and salt. That's the thing to remember. It starts to suck the water and the salt out of your body. And when the sweat stops, when your sweat system stops functioning, your body temperature can skyrocket. It can start going up to about 103, 104 degrees. Okay, then you have what's called a life-threatening condition called heat stroke. 300 people every year, folks, die from heat stroke. Now, if you're out in the hot weather and you start getting some initial symptoms like headache, rapid pulse, if you start to fade in and out of consciousness, think about that. You could be starting to have a heat stroke. So you want to think about wearing clothes in the summertime for survival. You want to think about wearing clothes that's going to pull the sweat off your body, especially if you're in a humid area. Because keep in mind what I just said. It's going to slow down the evaporation. The humidity is going to slow down the evaporation of that sweat on your body. So you need to wear clothes that's going to pull that perspiration off your body. Also, be drinking at least a cup of water every half hour. Just think about that. I mean, especially here in Texas, we have to worry about that a lot. Those of you who live in other hot parts of the country, drink a cup of water every half hour. Just a rule of thumb, 8 ounces. Try to avoid alcohol and caffeine. I know it's tough because in the summer we like to party a lot and so forth and get together and have fun. But alcohol and caffeine, both of these dehydrate your body. Okay, dehydrating in the heat is not a good thing. Now let's talk about your feet. How to be protecting your feet with different types of clothes and different types of activity during the hot summer weather. Hot, dry sand can burn your soles of your feet. So if some of you are hitting the beaches or hitting lakes with sand around them, your beach areas, keep in mind something. That sand that's burning your feet, about 3 or 4 inches underneath the surface, that sand is cool. So wear flip-flops when you're on the beach and when you're on hot sand. I know I see a lot of I see this a lot at beaches. A lot of people are going barefoot, probably because it feels good and because they're at the beach, and they say, well, hey, you know, let's go ahead and take a walk on the beach and so forth. And that sand just can be, it can be hotter than hell. Wear flip-flops and tennis shoes. Prevent those. Prevent your feet from getting scorched, and prevent some of the puncture wounds caused by some of the debris on the beach. And that pretty much applies to just about anywhere you're at, especially if you're on the beach or if you're in areas that are near water where you've got a lot of debris that could be collected underneath the surface as well. So use common sense, obviously, when protecting your feet. Now, let me get back to some materials that I want to talk about when considering your clothes. And I'm going to talk again about summer and winter here. If cost is a factor, and for a lot of us it is, or you decide to use your surplus normal clothing, consider a few things. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, cotton kills. Okay, cotton kills. That's a real common saying with outdoors and survival folks and in outdoor and survival books. In most climates, usually a lightweight wool garment is better. Lightweight wool pants and shirt, very lightweight. And you know, a lot of people think it's the opposite. A lot of people think you need to have cotton in the real extreme heat. Not necessarily so. Okay, in the winter, wool is warmer, and even people who live in the Sahara Desert, where the temperatures are consistently above 100 degrees, prefer wool. The scales on the outside of wool fibers break up surface tension, and they resist wetting. Okay, another thing that wool contains is lanolin, the oil on wool, and that helps resist water. Wool also breathes very well, and that's something else for you to consider. The other thing I want to share with you is think about your clothing fit, okay? How do they fit? Tight clothing in any situation restricts your movements, and I make this mistake a lot. Sometimes I put on clothes that are way too tight. Now, carrying a firearm forces me to wear looser clothes because I'm trying to conceal the gun. But a lot of people are putting on some uncomfortable stuff, especially in the summertime. And after wearing it for a while, it can start to cause some premature sores on your skin and even sometimes boils. So one suggestion I would make is don't wear the skin-tight stuff, because even though you think it might keep you cooler, not necessarily so. You've got to be able to get airflow between your clothing and your body. Okay, next, let me talk about a hat. Something a lot of people forget, especially in the heat of the summer. Make sure you've not only got a hat that you're wearing most of the time, but make sure you've got a hat in your bug-out bag, and make sure that you've got an extra hat in your vehicle, preferably kind of one of those, you know, floppy hiking-style hats. Let's assume for a minute that your survival is spent outdoors and a simple hat. Just having a simple hat is going to prevent a lot of things from happening, folks. It's going to work wonders to help prevent sunburn and to keep a lot of the heat off of your head. Common sense, but I like to talk about common sense on this show because so many people forget it. Okay, you might want to consider a Gore-Tex hat if you can afford it. It keeps you dry, and it also, you can carry water in it. Think about that. A bandana. You know, there's been some talk in the last few months about what you can do with a bandana, and it's been on our forum. And I think a bandana was one of the items that one of our members put up there as for alternate uses. What are some of the alternate uses of bandanas? And so go check that out on our forum. But this is one survival piece of clothing that I suggest that you put into any survival kit. Even if you don't wear it, a bandana can make an excellent second hat. It can make neck protection in a pinch if it's really needed. You can also wear it as a dust mask. You can use it as a signaling tool. You can use it as a bandage, a tourniquet. There's all kinds of alternative uses for a bandana, but that's essential. I think every survival kit bug out bag needs to have a bandana in it. All right? Since I'm on the subject of survival kits, too, let me talk about something else, not necessarily a piece of clothing, but you can use it as a piece of clothing. A garbage bag. Make sure you got a garbage bag in your survival kit, because you can also use a garbage bag as a raincoat, for example. You can also use a garbage bag, if you know what you're doing, to make a good sun shelter. And by the way, if you're in the desert, you can make a sun hat out of a bunch of large leaves as well, like leaves from the fan of a palm tree. So think about some alternative uses of items as well. Now, let me get back to shoes. You know, I think it's so important. I think your feet, when it comes to a survival situation, and I don't care if it's winter, summer, fall, whatever, wherever you're, whether you're outdoors, your feet are so important. Any good infantryman is going to tell you, take care of your feet. Have at least a couple of good pairs of tennis shoes. And I'm a big firm believer in running shoes. I just happen to think, my personal opinion, you may differ with me, I just happen to think that good running shoes, especially in the summertime, they're comfortable, they allow you to do just about anything. They breathe well, and they're lightweight. If you have to pack them in a bug out bag, you know, it keeps the weight of everything down. You know, weight is so important in a bug out bag. So even if you have to invest a little bit of money, take care of your feet. I can't stress that strongly enough. Okay, and a few things on shoe maintenance that I want to talk about. Make sure you have some shoe or sole glue and some heavy-duty thread to make repairs in your shoes if you need to. Some of the most important things of shoe and boot maintenance are waterproofing them. I'm a firm believer that when I buy a shoe, the minute that I get them home from the store, especially a tennis shoe or a running shoe, I waterproof them. Okay, and when I waterproof my shoes, I don't use some of that synthetic spray stuff that the shoe stores like to sell. I don't like that. It's not very good for leather. So if you do have some leather shoes, if they're not running shoes, or if they are running shoes with some natural leather on them, use things like mink oil for waterproofing. Use natural substances as much as you can. Okay, good insoles. You know, a lot of people are complaining of foot pain, and especially in the summer, people tend to be more active in the summer. And from a survival standpoint, one of the worst things that you could have is some foot pain, especially if you're on foot, some kind of a disaster happens, you've got to hike a long way or you've got to walk a long way. In my emergency bag, I like to keep some real good insoles for my shoes. I have some very high supportive insoles that support the arches and support the heels of my feet very well. These things can pay off huge, especially if you have to walk a long way or hike a long way, and especially if you're carrying bug out bags, or even if you're carrying kids. Think about that kind of stuff. All right, so that concludes segment number one. I have some more thoughts on clothing that I want to cover, but let's take a quick 20-second break or so here, and then I'll be back on with segment number two. Folks, Bob Main back here for segment number two. I've got some more ideas on clothing, and then I've also want to share with you some ideas on preparing in the summer to try to avoid extreme heat and things like that. But before I get into that, I want to take a little bit of a departure here from clothing and summer survival. And if you guys remember, I used to do a part of my show called Numbskulls and Notables, where I'd point out somebody who was just a real dolt and somebody just saying something stupid. I got one of those again. I don't really have somebody that I'm going to put in the notable category, but you got to hear this. I'm going to play an audio soundbite here from you. This was on the Michael Savage show. Now, I don't, you know, whether you like Michael Savage or not, you got to hear this. So, whatever your opinions are of Michael Savage, put those aside for now. But listen to this woman who called in to his show. This is actual footage. This is an actual soundbite. and you're just not going to believe this. This person is 100% serious about what she's saying. That's the sad part, is that she's serious about what she's saying. And I'm afraid this is here's what we're up against in the world today. You know, I think from a survival standpoint, what we're up against is not so much, you know, whether in terrorism and stuff like that, and finances and stuff. Even though weather disasters, terrorism, financial collapse and all that, yes, it's huge threats. Don't get me wrong. But this is the kind of thinking that people, too many people have. And I think this type of thinking is a greater threat to us than anything else right now. So listen to this, and then I'll get back on topic.
Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side, Joe, in Boca Raton. Welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. We have to have open...
Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
you're
to have...
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow, and now.
Well, apparently they pooled from the lowest level of the gene pool from where you came from, that you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit, an upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's
capitalism. I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number.
No,
okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money, and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
that out. I see. How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check.
What do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe.
Good Lord. Is that startling? I mean, this woman was serious. I feel like, you know, I could do 150 more podcasts about common sense. And people like her just simply not going to get it. But the fear that I have is there's thousands, if not millions of people out there that think like she does. Obviously, she gets the numbskull award. I guess I'll go ahead and I'll give the notable award to Michael Savage because he really, you know, he handled that with more respect than I probably would have handled it. And so anyway, I just thought you'd find that shocking. Okay, back on topic. I want to spend some time here in segment number two of this podcast to talk about some survival skills in extreme heat. Since we are in the summer season it's so doggone hot. Let's talk about a few things. Okay, all kidding aside for a minute. The summer heat, the intense heat, it's not for the weak of heart people. It's not for the people who are weak in body and in spirit either. Keeping yourself in good physical condition is so important during the summertime. I've found that people who are in good shape can handle the heat. And it doesn't matter what kind of clothes they put on. If they're out of shape, it's just very, very difficult for them to handle the intense heat. In addition to staying in good shape and protecting yourself from the sun with sunscreen and things like that, something else, for those of you who might live in desert climates, or really anywhere when you're doing some work in the summer, when you're doing physical work, make sure you're wearing gloves. Again, a lot of people think, gloves in the summertime? Bob, they're going to make my hands hot. Think about this. Dry air, if you're in the desert, has a huge drying effect on your hands as well. And pretty soon you're going to have all the moisture sucked out of your hands, and they're going to start to crack, and they're going to start to bleed, and it's going to be very painful. Having gloves on keeps some of the moisture in your hands. Gloves also, even if you don't live in the desert climates, for those of you who live even where it's humid, if you're working in the summertime, gloves protect your hands from abrasions. And abrasions on your hands, just like anything else, our hands and our feet are so important when it comes to survival. You want to keep them protected. Okay? And in segment number one, I mentioned hydrating yourself during the heat. A couple of other reasons why this is very important. Have you also ever thought about keeping plenty of sodium in your body during the heat as well? There's a condition called hyponatremia, and that's a condition that's suffered when your body gets way too low on sodium. When you're drinking a lot of water and you're profusely sweating, the sodium level in your bloodstream starts to get diluted. Okay, so one recommendation is you might want to take in a gram of sodium per hour as well. Okay, now when I say taking in some sodium, a lot of people think, well, that must mean salt. Let me share this with you. Salt is sodium chloride, and in order to get a gram of sodium, you'd need to eat or ingest 2.5 grams of salt, okay, just to get 1 gram of sodium. You can take salt tablets, but they're going to give the body a jolt of sodium, and then the sodium level falls off. So you'll get a quick burst, but then it starts to drop off. Okay, so you might want to consider to carry with you some salty type foods like some pretzels or potato chips or corn chips or wheat thins and stuff like that. Snacks that are going to help keep your sodium levels up, and also at the same time you're going to get the carbs that you need for energy. So something to think about during the summer. I know I kind of got off a little bit there on diet when I wanted to keep this podcast focused primarily on clothes and avoiding the heat and stuff, but I had to throw that in there about your sodium levels too. Okay, now I want to spend some time here on heat exhaustion, because I remember after I recorded segment number one and I went back and listened to it, I talked a little bit about heat exhaustion, but I want to get a little bit more in depth in it, some things that I've learned along the way. The symptoms of heat exhaustion can be things like a mild to severe nausea. You could start having muscle cramps. You can get disoriented. You could slur your speech. You might get confused. Obviously, your body temperature might start raising a little bit. And heat stroke, folks, is a medical emergency. You don't take heat stroke lightly. Okay, the two primary indicators of a heat stroke: people get a red flushed face and they stop sweating. And, of course, as I mentioned, disoriented. If you get overheated, head for your car or head for somewhere where it's air conditioning as quick as you can. Start it up. Start your car up or get into an air-conditioned building or get somewhere to where you can cool off and pour some water on your clothes and crank up the air conditioning. Okay? And then start hydrating yourself like crazy. I like to keep a lot of sports drinks around, too. For emergencies and things like that. Sports drinks also get in, they give you the electrolytes that you need, and that helps bring down some of the heat exhaustion as well. Okay, something else that I wanted to, this just popped into my mind here, something else I want to talk to you about avoiding heat stroke. Be aware that some of the medications that we take can sometimes make you more vulnerable to heat exhaustion. I'll give you an example. Painkillers can mask some of the symptoms of heat exhaustion. Laxatives can increase the risk of dehydration. So make sure you're checking with your doctor before you take certain medications, and you know you're going to be out in the heat for a long time. Get a lot of rest. take a lot of breaks. If you need an excuse to be a couch potato, a good hot day is the excuse to be a couch potato. If you happen to be out at the lake, relax. If you happen to be out on a hike or some kind of an outdoor excursion, make sure you schedule lots of breaks. Whenever you can, make sure you take cool showers, sponge baths. And as I mentioned before, making sure that you get into air conditioning areas is so important. You see, moving the air increases the evaporation of the perspiration, as I mentioned in segment one. And eating a well-balanced diet, eating light and eating regular meals and eating often, that helps too. You know, keeping your body as nourished as possible is going to help you avoid heat exhaustion. Okay, so I want to wrap up this show with a few tips to leave you with before I head out to vacation. And while those of you who are enjoying some time, hopefully with your families this summer, maybe in the next week or two, or if not, or if you just happen to be working around the house or working in the yard or working in your garden or taking care of your animals or whatever, don't forget about wearing cool neck wraps as well. You can go down to your local sporting goods store and you'll find neck wraps. And when you soak them with water, they're going to keep your neck cool, and they'll keep your neck cool for a long time. If you don't have one or you can't afford to go buy one, just soak a towel in water and then just wring it out and place it around your neck. Okay, this is going to help keep you cool. Also, think about a water fan. At your sporting goods store, you can purchase battery-operated Mister fans. The air circulation along with the cool mist that it provides can lower the temperature sometimes 25, 30 degrees. Okay, that helps keep you cool. Okay, keep a towel in your bug out bag or your emergency bag or your backpack if you're going outside in the heat. If you have a backpack, you can carry a cloth or a small towel in a Ziploc bag. And when you get real hot, you can use that towel. Folks, one of the things that can cool you down real fast is just pulling out a towel. Figuring out a way to get it wet and then just start patting yourself down with that wet towel. Carry an umbrella as well. The umbrella is already packed in our car. We got a big, huge umbrella, a big beach umbrella. Very, very, you know, a lot of people forget this. You know what, folks? I've been in a lot of hot areas sometimes, and I've seen that people just didn't even bring a basic umbrella. They just don't think of it. If you're going to be out in the sun for a long time, carry one. Obviously, it just keeps the direct sunlight off you. Direct sunlight is your worst enemy. And so let me leave you with 13 quick tips. Some of these are repetitive, but I want to finish up with a brief recap of what I've said. And here's 13 tips to beat the heat, according to the CDC. Stay indoors if at all possible. Stay in an air-conditioned area whenever you can. Don't leave babies, kids, or pets in cars. You know what? Just to say that makes me think, I just can't believe some of the stupid things that people do. But so I got to get that out there. I feel obligated to do. Drink fluids, as I've talked about. Don't drink liquids that contain sugar either. A lot of these drinks can cause you to lose more body fluid. Okay. Also, something you might not have thought of, try to avoid really super cold drinks. Sometimes it causes you some stomach cramps. If you sweat heavily, you might need to replace your salt and minerals, like I talked about. And when you're at home, wear as little as clothing as possible. Choose some lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing. If you have to be outside, try to limit your outdoor activity to the morning and the evening hours. Try to rest in the shading areas. If you must go outside, wear some good sunscreen. Keep that wide-brimmed hat on. Pay attention to what kind of UV protection that your sunglasses have. Also, pace yourself. As I was talking about earlier, taking breaks a lot. Also, use a buddy system. If you're working in the heat, if you're going to be outside, for example, watch out for each other. And don't forget about the high-risk people, senior citizens, young kids, people who are sick, people who are disabled. And don't forget about your pets, folks. Make sure you keep your pets nourished with a lot of good food, a lot of fresh water, and keep them in the shade. So with that, folks, kind of a short show. I apologize for that, but I'm actually getting ready to head out for a couple of weeks. And I will be checking in, as I mentioned. So keep posting on the forum, folks. If you haven't joined our forum, get involved in it. And so I'm going to say Sayonara. I will talk to you on the 2nd of July. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bob Main. This is today's survival show, where it's my goal to help you harness the power of choice, to live life on your own terms, strengthen your resolve, keep cool in the heat, avoid heat exhaustion, and sharpen up on some of the survival clothes, especially for the summertime. Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.